In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I've said this to you before. Maybe I've said it before, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen times in the last 30 years. But when I asked before my baptism how I was supposed to confess, Abuna Lua gave me this passage of the Bible to read. It's a very formidable passage for somebody who's going to make their first confession. It's a terrible thing that he did to me, and I remind him of that. When you have somebody that is particularly sensitive as an individual just before their baptism, and then you give them this scripture, you remind them in the most deep possible way about just how much they are asking of God, how much grace they are asking to forgive them for all the things that they've done. Now, I've said this before too, and I don't want to make too much of it. When the Lord was talking to the Pharisee, the Jew, he said there are two debtors. One owes 500, one owes 50. The one to whom the money was owed forgave both of them. Who's going to love him more from lifting this burden? Well, the Jew, thinking about money, said, well, the person who has been forgiven 500. I think Jesus was answering him in the sense that this is all that the man had as a substructure for his relationship to God, balances, weighing things out. Because in point of fact, if I say to you now, whoever does not have a $2 bill in their wallet will perish, and whoever has a $2 bill will be saved. All of you will pass because you lack the $2 bill. Now, $2 bill is legal tender. I have a couple in my car. I make it a point with my grandson where he gets a denomination of each one of the things, because we say, okay, who's the president on the 10? Who's the president on the 20? Who's the president on the 50 or the 100 or the 1, the 2, the 5? And we play this game. So in order to know and not have to guess, we have these bills. And I can show them to you later if you wish. But what I'm trying to say to you is, if you don't have the 50, it might as well be 50 million. So when you lack, and what we're talking about is, you do not have the ability to save yourself. You need a savior. If you can't save yourself, it doesn't matter if you have a single sin that is separating you from God. Reconciliation is not possible until the debt has been paid. You have to pay. So the fact of who is going to love him most, the thing that really enters into this is, who is it that really thinks they need to be saved? Some people are so smug and self-contented that they don't have any sense of their own jeopardy. They walk through life doing what they want, and then they look at other people and they say, well, who's the bigger sinner? I only owe God 50 sins. That person over there owes God 500 sins. I'm 10 times better than that person. Because again, my substructure only allows me to weigh things. And I weigh things not on their merit. I weigh things, as though the thing in and of itself had no other intrinsic meaning. But when you sin, it's not just that I said a bad word. It's not just that I was angry. It's just the fact that you have broken some pact with God Himself on that level where you wish some reciprocal benefit. Do you want God really to be angry with you? Do you really want God to look at you and say, generation of vipers, hypocrites? Do you want that? No. So how do you do that? How do you do that, as the Lord says, to your brother? You can't see me, meaning God, but you can see your brother. How do you treat your brother? How do you do this? Are you beginning to get the idea just about what Abuna Lua did to me? He's a terrible mean man on some levels. But it was important, and this has stayed with me. This has stayed with me, well, since I was baptized. And I doubt it will ever go away. You know, people make a lot about how, even in the Bible, commentators, the book of the commentaries on the Bible, I think St. Ambrose is writing, the woman is using her garland. Garland means a flowered wreath that is given to victors in contests. So the garland of the woman is her beautiful hair. Some of your garlands have wilted, ladies. But the flower of this woman, she was using it as just a rag. She did not esteem herself. You see, when you start to think about yourself that you can make excuses for your own behavior, when you go to confession and you complain about somebody else, you've got one foot in hell. You have to say, me. I did it. I did it on my own. I did it without any justifiable provocation. The Lord was spit upon. The Lord had the hair of his beard pulled out. The Lord was beaten. And the Lord did not. The Lord did not issue a curse. As I do. So, this thing we have to work to live up to. But it's about love, isn't it? I listened to this radio station. It's not a bad radio station. It's 9:30 on the AM dial. It's called Relevant Radio. And it's 100% Roman Catholic. They even offer a couple of times during the day 1 hour of just prayer. You can never hear prayer anywhere. But if you tune to this station, you will hear prayer at certain times. 1 o'clock is one of the times. People have petitions. And this, by the way, I'm not getting paid for. This is just a pure offering to you. But I hear things on this station that are quite a bit different than the practices that we have. For example, the way in which they celebrate their communion. It's quite a bit different. And I'm using this as an example because I want you to understand love. When you love somebody, that person can barely be torn away from your arms by time or place or anything. When you love somebody, you want to hold them. You know how we consider, in many times, feet. The feet of a person, right? It has a symbolic reference. You know, if somebody puts their foot on you or raises their foot. I was told that in polite society that a son would never raise his feet so his father would see the bottom of his shoe. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. But this is what I was taught early. Feet. But I tell you this. Sometimes I'm sleeping, taking a nap, or sleeping with one of my grandchildren, Giovanni or Joshua, and they put their feet on me. It has the opposite effect. I love it. You know, the foot, the bottom of your foot is as soft as the palm of your hand. And when they put that on you, on your leg or, you know, depending how high or low they're sleeping up in the bed next to you, some other part of your anatomy. It's a sign that they want closeness. They want closeness. They are the ones who are issuing this. They are saying, I am reaching out. I want to be next to you. And I tell you, it's an honor for me to have my grandchildren's feet on me. Right? But why is this? Because of my love. You see, when you love, you don't think about feet. You think about this is part of my beloved. The woman did not look at washing Jesus' feet as though she were doing a job of great humility. We look at it that way. And do you know why we look at it that way? Because we don't love as much as she did. Some of you older women, or middle-aged women, I should say, remember Susanna Khalil. She didn't want to wash the feet or pretend to wash the feet with her hair of Danny Bugdaddy in the skit that we had at St. George Church. She cried. She cried. Well, knowing Danny Bugdaddy and knowing Susanna Khalil, that was probably the right thing to have done, cry. Again, these are all inside jokes, and if you don't know these people, this is going straight over your head like a jet plane. But the reason why the woman sat at the feet of Christ and wept, and the reason that she washed his feet with her tears and dried them with the hair of her head and anointed his feet with oil is because of love. Love. Remember the Pharisee again? Who is going to love him more? The person that forgave him 500 or the person that gave him 50? Well, the Pharisee only has that scale, that balance inside himself. Let's see. 50? 500? No, it's got to be 500. Of course I'm going to love him more. I could probably scrape up 50 myself. I'm thinking about that. I might not have that at home on a shelf someplace. 500, no, we're talking about a lot of money. We don't love the way that we should. I don't love the way that I should. But it's what we must work towards every day. Now, getting back to the Roman Catholics and that radio station, they have a service and it's done in an hour, beginning to end, communion, everything. Because they do it in a one-hour show. They give you the whole thing and you hear the liturgy non-stop. 1 hour. 1 hour. And that's what the readings from the Gospel, that's from the other readings that they have from the lectionary as well. 1 hour. If you are with somebody that you really love, do you want it to be over within an hour? Oh, you get an hour a week. You get an hour a week. I don't want to be given an hour a week. I want to be there until my whole body is so filled with the love of the object of my desire that I feel as full as when I eat a delicious meal, or when I've gotten up from my bed after having a great night's sleep, or when I've entered from the heat into a cool place, and now my body temperature, I feel perfect. Then okay, if you wish, you may depart from me, but return at a certain time that we agree upon now, because I do not want to miss out. And I want to perpetuate this thing that I have with you. This woman loved a lot. She loved so much. Simon, he didn't know who was sitting at his table with him. He didn't know the power of the man. He fed Jesus. But he should have asked Jesus to feed him. Let's all be really, really smart. Let's work toward love. Let's look towards loving what we have in front of us. And let's look forward in our own spiritual lives with ambition, so that one day we may be pointed to and say, oh, that person was a loving soul. Glory be to God, now and ever, into the age of all ages. Amen.